Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carolyn Yeager with the Revisionist Report on Thursday, July 28th. I'm back at my home base again, and so I don't expect any sudden electrical surges that caused me to lose my internet service, as happened yesterday. That's one good reason to have a guest, though. He or she can carry on, as Kairos did yesterday. Today, Wilfred Hank, our revisionist, is back with us, and he's going to begin with the role the Russians played to make Nuremberg possible. I want to remind listeners that his website is Inconvenient History Revisionist Blog, which is www.revblog.codo.com, and much of the information he's going to be talking about today and tomorrow is posted at that blog under the titles of A Closer Look at the Extraordinary State Commission, which claimed to have investigated fascist crimes, parts 1 through 4. Good morning, Wilf, and thank you for being here. Are you connected? Wilf is, something happened to Wilf. He's not, I was connected with him. Let me see if I'm still connected with him. Yeah, he's online for me. What's wrong? Well, you're already haven't, don't you already have a contact with him? Okay. I'm writing this. I have to do this now. Except, all right, we'll see what goes on. Okay, I will then carry on until the break. Now, the Inconvenient History Revisionist blog is was started by Wilf and Thomas Cues, and they have done a wonderful job with this, and I've been able to post some of my materials on here, but it's most of it is by them, starting a few years ago. And right now, Wilf has been working on these on this research into the Soviet Extraordinary State Commissions, also known as ESC. Now, this is what the Russians, the Soviets, set up to investigate or to create propaganda, actually, for their cause that started during the war, really got going in 1941 after the invasion, and. To us, and I think he's here now. Wilf, are you there?
Yes, I am. I wonder what happened here. Good morning, Carolyn.
Well, you know, when I went away to another place, you know, my whole Skype system seems to have half the things have dropped off, and I had to reconnect this morning with RBN. But I didn't think you would have to. So I don't know how that happened either. But anyway, here we all are. Mm-hmm. So thank you. Thanks for being here again. Did you hear what I just said about the commission?
No, I didn't. And whatever, yeah. This, as I wrote you a short notice yesterday, and this commission, the actual facts of this commission that was set up, I think this will come a little later on because I would like to get into some background first, because things always
That's
have
right.
to, yeah.
That's right. Okay. So, well, we're going to our first break. So, ladies and gentlemen.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-489-0192. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-489-0192. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-489-0192. That's 1-800-489-0192.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. And as I said at the very beginning, Wilf Hank is with me, and he is going to begin with the role the Russians played to make Nuremberg possible. So hello again, Wilf, and why don't you just get started?
Hi, Carolyn. Yeah, okay. Okay, the Russians formed a commission to investigate crimes. That was as a result of the Moscow Conference of 1943, when the big three met in Moscow and issued a declaration that the Hitlerites will be punished and so on and so forth. And the consequence was the forming of that, officially, the forming of this, what has been settled on, the name they finally settled on is Extraordinary State Commission for Ascertaining and Investigating Crimes Perpetrated by the German Fascist Invaders and Their Accomplices.
They like long names for things, don't they?
Yeah, in East...
And
in
that's
East,
real typical.
Yes, in East Germany, the saying was, the longer the title, the bigger the bull. But anyway, that's only besides the point. Okay, short. This thing is called ESC, and they were, as you mentioned, they were instrumental in bringing Nuremberg about. Michael J. Basler, he's a professor of law. He wrote in an article the role in the SU, the Soviet Union, in the IMT at Nuremberg, and impact on its legacy. That among the detailed and massive work performed by the commissions were inspection of graves and so on and so forth. And he says that those records proved indispensable at the IMT. In other words, without those records, it would have been near impossible to convict the Germans. Because when you look at the trial transcripts, the bulk of the material was provided by the Russians. And these reports, although at the beginning, in those reports, all we read is shootings of peaceful Soviet citizens. Jews are hardly ever mentioned. But now, these reports are forming one of the pillars of what has become known as the Holocaust, because they, now it is claimed, no, Jews were meant actually, and Alexander Prusin, in his article Fascist Crimes, Criminals to the Gallows, tries to make that point unsuccessfully. Anyway, there was another issue that the Germans, the Russians were instrumental. On February the 14th, Chief Counselor Smirnov, he was the assistant prosecutor for the USSR, stated, "The number of such depositions at the disposal of the Soviet prosecution is unusually great." Suffice is to say that in the reports of the Extraordinary State Commission of the Soviet Union, there are 54,784 reports of Hitlerian crimes.
54,000.
784. Yeah. The crimes directed against the peaceful citizens of the Soviet Union. Again, no mention of Jews.
Yeah.
Now, I will get into the detail maybe later on, but I think that'll happen tomorrow, because of those 54,784, only 7 reports were actually made public.
Did you say 7 or 70?
7.
7 made public. Okay. This is interesting.
He then, Smirnov then talks about typical German methods, mentioning shooting in the neck, which was a typical Russian method used for killings. But what is important here, he also mentions right up in front, right at the start of his deposition, he mentions Article 21. He says, "I submit to the tribunal in evidence according to Article 21 of the Charter," one of the official notes. He, never mind what it says, but he's referring to Article 21 of the London Charter, which reads, "The tribunal shall not require proof of facts of common knowledge, but shall take judicial notice thereof. It shall also take judicial notice of official government documents and reports of the United Nations, including the acts and documents of the committees set up in the various allied countries for the investigation of war crimes." This is referring to these extraordinary state commissions, because to my knowledge, no other country has formed a special commission to investigate fascist crimes. It was all just aimed at the Russians, so they could submit whatever they felt like, and no questions asked. The other prosecutor, Pokorsky, referred to Article 19, and it reads, "The tribunal shall not be bound by technical rules of evidence. It shall adopt and apply to the greatest possible extent expeditious and non-technical procedure, and shall admit any evidence which it deems to be of probative value." Again, they're saying here that anything that is submitted, no questions asked, they should just accept it and be good. What Basler, whom I mentioned before, tells us that the Russians were instrumental in having these two clauses added to the London Charter.
Ah.
Uh-huh.
Well, because they knew what they had, and so they couldn't have any kind of critical analysis of what they were presenting whatsoever.
Absolutely. They knew that what they presented were stories that were just tales of eyewitnesses and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But they had to make sure that it was accepted. And there's also Joachim Hoffmann in his book, Hitler's, what's it called again here, Stalin's Vernichtungskrieg, Stalin's War of Attrition or Destruction. He also mentions that. He says that Ilya Trenin, one of the commission members, he was one of the members of that extraordinary commission, was instrumental in having this clause added at Nuremberg. In other words, they wrote the reports and then presented it at the, he was instrumental in compiling these so-called reports and then presented it at Nuremberg.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Unfortunately, the defense at Nuremberg asked very little questions. And we have to here remember that Professor Zeidler, in his book, Justice in the Hands of the Victors, tells us that the defense was picked by the victors. The accused were not allowed, as it is tradition, allowed to pick their lawyer. The defense, in other words, the prosecution, picked the defense team also. And anybody that had any kind of connection to National Socialism was not allowed in. So it is entirely possible. And reading through some of these transcripts, and I have taken a close look at Nuremberg, it becomes evident that these people, these defense team, that they actually believed in these crimes, because it is possible that they were in the opposition. If they were not connected to National Socialism, and a lot of the intelligentsia was in the opposition, and that this to them then was some sort of a justification. They could say, "See, we knew all along that the National Socialists were criminals." And
well, you know, the defense believed in the crimes. They convinced the so-called defendants, or which they
yes.
call war criminals already, to believe in them too. So a lot of them, as they were going through this long trial, thought that, gee, all this was going on and I didn't know anything about it. And then they tried to use that as a defense, right? But it didn't work, you know. But, I mean, they were sincere when they said, this is the first I've ever heard about any of this.
Oh, absolutely.
And they did. I think a lot. Some of them didn't believe it. Like Goering, I'm sure he didn't believe it because he knew too much. You know, he would have known. He knows he would have known if that was. But some of them, I think they did. They did believe it. Although, Wilhelm Priestman, he says, you know, he was around then, you know, and he had fought in the war, and he said that that. He and the other people who were in the detention camps with him, the Germans, afterwards, they didn't really believe it. He says people knew that it was, they didn't know what to believe, but they knew that it was exaggerated. I mean, most people then thought, you know, they didn't buy into it like I thought that they all did right after the war. Most of them really didn't, but they couldn't say anything otherwise. You know, they couldn't say that. So,
no, that's true.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry for going.
No. That's okay. And some of these people, as you mentioned, they would have had to know because they were overseers,
right.
And they were in charge of these. And we also have, you see, we have these the German Abwehr, the intelligence service, Canaris Oster. The two heads of them, they were in the opposition, and they told the enemies more about what they're doing than they told Hitler. They stated at Nuremberg, Lahausen, one of them, stated at Nuremberg that we were totally, fully aware of what was happening in the camps. Why didn't they send any detailed information to the Allies?
What a lie. Well,
what a lie.
So they were there at Nuremberg, too, lying. Well, no, they were dead. Oster...
Yeah, but Lahausen was there.
Okay, Lahausen.
And then Servatius, the other guy, he also told all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, well, they just lied. Yeah.
And Servatius was one of the Dulleses who was coordinating the German opposition from Switzerland. And he was one of his messengers anyway. Anyway, let's continue here before we get too far astray and I find my way back and I hear the
bells. Yeah. You're going to have to.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Teravim. Teravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Teravim's private label and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices doses in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit TerraVim.com.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Carolyn Yeager, and I'm back with my guest, Wilfred Hienk. And we were getting back to the subject, which we had got off a little bit, but it was interesting and I think important. And so now, Wilf, you rearranged yourself and you're ready to start again, right?
Oh, yeah, okay, if you say so, Carolyn. Okay, what I mentioned before, the defense being what they were forced to defend these war criminals, as you had mentioned. They were called that already then, although it had not been determined that they were not convicted. And normally it's guilty until proven, or innocent until proven guilty. And also because of the fact that a lot of what the Russians had submitted at Nuremberg has been dropped, without any kind of explanation why it was even accepted in the first place. All of this is known. And one would think that historians would now make every effort to substantiate whatever is left. Because before it was always, we were always told that, well, the Russians won't let us in. As long as the Iron Curtain was in place, they said, well, we can't go investigate. How can we? They won't let us in. But the Soviet Union has ceased to exist for over 20 years. It's done. Why don't they go and send some people to have a look and find some of these graves and some of these alleged crime sites and do a proper investigation by people that are trained, a neutral body, that people that are trained in investigating crimes and so on and so forth. But nothing is done. Professor Mauser, in one of his books, also complains about it. And he says that historians are reluctant, in his opinion, to do any investigating out of fear not to find what is there. And I have to agree with him. I mean, up until now, we have nothing. We have absolutely no substantial evidence of any of what was submitted at Nuremberg to back it up with anything. But they do know that this is a bit of a, I mean, the historians and if Professor Finkel, what is it, Finkelstein?
Finkelstein, yeah.
Yeah, he called it the industry. They know that not all is well, and so they have a French priest, Father Desbois. He's crawling around Ukraine and other countries half officially, and here's what I found. Father Patrick Desbois, president of the Yahat Unum Association, has devoted his life to confronting anti-Semitism and furthering Catholic Jewish understanding. Since 2001, he has led a truly historic undertaking, and he's going around, like I said, digging up, finding graves, or so he claims, and he has found, he published a book, and he has found 800 graves. But when you look at it, he was also featured in that documentary from National Geographic that I had talked about, Nazi Death Quotes, it was called. And what he found is embarrassing. There's no grave shown. There's a little grave site here with a couple of bodies and a little bit there. One has to ask, though, why have him go, why not locate those huge graves that are supposedly there, or why not allow Desbois access to these 54,000 reports that were written? Then he wouldn't have to look, because right now he says he's searching for graves. If they give him access to these reports, he could put signs up. I mean, if these reports are worth anything, they should give him the location and so on and so forth. So why look? I mean, it's embarrassing. That's all there is.
Well, we say it's embarrassing. It doesn't seem to embarrass them.
No.
These people are not scholars. I don't know. You know, well, we know the answers to all your questions that you're asking, but I like the way you say that Desbois is crawling around the Ukraine. That's about it. He might as well be crawling.
Yeah, he is a priest. He isn't. He's no investigator. What the heck does he know? I mean,
nothing.
He knows nothing.
He's willing to tell fables and to lie and to put on a big show. That's all it is. It's a big fake show.
Yeah, that's what it is. And it's always when the documentary, again, they're preparing the viewers by showing bodies. And these bodies, I mean, there was a war on, and people starved in these concentration camps, especially in the latter month when Germany, and I was there, was bombed to smithereens. Nothing moved anymore. So this is the pictures they show, and they're preparing the audience. Oh, geez, look at these terrible Germans. And then they can tell them anything. They're, by now, they have been prepared to accept anything. Okay, I'd just like to read a few of these reports submitted by the Soviets at Nuremberg, and there are many. They talked of peaceful Soviet citizens being assembled on metal floors, then electric currents sent through, and they've been electrocuted and so on and so forth, but I can't go into all of that. This would take it too long.
Well, you can give us a few more. They're kind of interesting. We have to take a break right now. We'll be back for our long segment in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart and Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608, 1-908-691-2608, or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager, and Wilf Hienk is my guest, talking about how the Soviets dreamed up these charges that were used at Nuremberg, and how they were, without these Russian charges, there would have been no war crimes. There would have been nobody successfully prosecuted for so-called crimes. Now, I forgot to give the call-in number. So let me give that now, and I invite callers at 1-800-313-9443. Okay, Wilf, you decide whether you want to go into any more of these examples or not.
Well, sure, because it shows what cloth they were made of, these reports that Smirnov was talking about. Okay, he stated, it was either him or Pokrovsky, but they were interchangeable anyway. We find in the indictment that one of the most important criminal acts for which the major war criminals are responsible was the mass execution of Polish prisoners of war shot in the Katyn Forest near Smolensk by the German fascist invaders. I submit to the tribunal as proof of this crime official documents of the Special Commission for the Establishment and the Investigating of the Circumstances which attended the executions. The commission acted in accordance with the directive of the Extraordinary State Commission of the Soviet Union. Okay, this is about Katyn. Now, the Germans had found the remnants of the Katyn crime already in the fall of 1941. Eyewitnesses told him about it, but they were busy fighting a war. They never got around. They finally called an investigation in 1943 and invited international investigators to attend. And there were numerous countries, and I don't want to get into this here right now. And they established, without any doubt, that this crime, Katyn crime, was committed by the Soviets. In the meantime, now, the Soviets have admitted that they have done it. An order signed by Stalin has been found. But this is just to show they presented it at Nuremberg as a German crime when they knew full well that it was a lie. Mm. The next one is that's about Sachsenhausen, that concentration camp that has now been resurrected. It was forgotten while it was in East Germany. It has now been resurrected. And I quote, an SS member, Paul Waldmann, who was one of the participants in the crimes perpetrated by the German fascists when 840,000 Russian prisoners of war in Sachsenhausen were annihilated at one time. And he claims that they were shot and cremated in 4 movable crematoria, which were transported on car trailers.
And he,
yeah, and because, and I'll get into that, because they had a problem, because they were talking about hundreds of thousands, millions. I haven't, in one of these days I'll add them up, and I bet you they submitted proof of the killing of I don't know how many million. And here we have 840,000. But the problem they have is there's no traces have been found of anybody. And I'll get into that a little bit later on. Here's a little more detail about Sachsenhausen. And we have to remember 840,000 were killed. In this small room, there was a slot in the wall approximately 50 centimeters in length. The prisoner of war stood with the back of his head against the slot, and the sniper shot at him from behind the slot. In practice, this arrangement did not prove satisfactory, since the sniper often missed the prisoner. How this is possible when he's leaning right up against
the wall. I don't know.
Oh, but anyway, it was, now don't laugh. This is proof submitted at a court of law. I mean, don't make fun of it here. After 8 days, a new arrangement was made. The prisoner, as before, was placed against the wall. An iron plate was then slowly lowered onto his head. The prisoner was under the impression that he was being measured for height. The iron plate contained a ramrod, which shot out suddenly and poleaxed the prisoner with a blow on the back of the head. He dropped dead. End of quote. Do I have to go on? I mean,
really, you know, that's so elaborate. I mean, how do these people in this courtroom keep a straight face? I don't know how, you know, how could they stand themselves to accept stuff like this? I mean, nobody would dream up such an elaborate method of trying to kill people when you have to kill hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
You know, according to them.
And I mean,
it's ridiculous.
And Germany, the Germans have been in the forefront of technology for a long, long time and still are. And come up with a plate and a bolt. I mean, give me a...
That's why I say that, you know, all these Holocaust murder stories are dreamed up by these ghetto Jews from Eastern Europe who were so superstitious, and they had no real education. They had no technological expertise whatsoever. I mean, talk about backward. So they dream up these crazy things, and that's how they got in to the early Holocaust story.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, it needed time to come together, to be concocted, because right after the war, and I keep stressing that, there was no talk. So this story, I mean, these stories wouldn't fly that were presented at Nuremberg. You can't, after their whole hoopla had settled and their whole hysterics and everything, people started to look at it and they said, wait a minute, hold it. So they had to come up with new stuff. And here's just one more, I find this to be also, this is also one of these technically advanced ways, methods to kill people. I further refer to the report of the State Extraordinary Commission relative to the crimes in the city of Kiev. This report describes murders in the camps, which will be also shown on the film today. And here I have to interrupt. They made some films, some horror films, which really, just to again condition the audience. Mm-hmm. And it goes on, I quote only from one report. Radomsky and Rida used all kinds of devices for the extermination of Soviet citizens. For instance, they invented the following method of murder. Several Soviet prisoners would be forced to climb a tree, and others had to saw it down. The prisoners would fall together with the tree and be killed.
Now, yeah, I've heard of that one.
That's ingenious. I mean, you have to be a technical genius to come up with anything like that.
how do they know? They don't know that they're going to be killed when they fall with the, from the tree, unless the limb is really high up there. It's so nonsensical.
Yeah, and again, like you said, how was it possible for these people to sit there? Educated people, one would think. There were lawyers and so on. How can they sit there and not interrupt? Because it was a propaganda show. This thing, that Nuremberg, the IMT had absolutely nothing to do with justice or anything like that. It was just...
No. And then what's worse is that even today, all these liberals and non-liberals, right-wing, anybody who still wants to believe in all this will point to the Nuremberg and the IMT, the tribunals, as being, that was so important that established our sense of international law. Mm-hmm. And, the idea of war criminals and bringing war criminals to justice. And yet they haven't brought any real war criminals to justice since then. Only the ones that they politically want to get rid of.
And there is... Since Nuremberg, there have been more wars fought than any time before. Mm-hmm. And like you say, nobody has ever been convicted of anything. I forget the guy's name that wrote The Nuremberg Fallacy. It's a very good book, and it's too bad I can't think of the author right now. Anyway, to move on here, and as I mentioned before, the total absence of, almost total absence of bodies. They found a few bones here and there. They dug up a few graves, and Jürgen Graf went into it a little bit but they were in the hundreds, not in the thousands that they found, mm-hmm. just a few. And that presented a problem. So on 19th February 1946, Smirnov, again, I quote, "With this document, I conclude the section of my statement which concerns the concentration camps and pass on to the last section entitled Concealment of Traces of Crimes. During the period of their temporary military success," and I'm still reading from Smirnov, "the German fascist criminals did not bother themselves very much with concealing the trace of their crimes. They did not even consider it necessary to camouflage their burial grounds in which they buried the bodies of the murdered persons after the shootings. But after the defeat suffered by the Hitlerite war machine at Stalingrad," I always liked these little Hitlerite and this and that, but anyway, "the situation changed. Fearing retaliation, the criminals began to take urgent measures to conceal the traces of their crimes. Where possible, they burned the corpses. Where this could not be done, the burial grounds were carefully camouflaged with moss and green foliage. The earth which covered the graves of these shot were smoothed out with special machines and with caterpillar tractors." I can't remember a caterpillar tractor in Germany at that time anyway, besides the point. But the Americans delivered a lot of aid to Russia, and among them were caterpillar machines. So that's right.
Yeah, the Russians had all this. And I was going to say before, I'll try to stick this in real quick, mm-hmm. that the reason that they believed all that stuff at the trials, that they kept a straight face, was because they knew they had to, the Soviet Union was still their ally, And they were not going to do anything against the Soviet Union. They still needed that in order to condemn the Germans of everything. And so it wasn't until later that they might have questioned what the Soviet Union was presenting.
Right. That's absolutely, you're absolutely right. And it's a good thing you mentioned that, because they were still buddies then. And this is another story one should go in, because I don't know. There is enough evidence out there that the Soviets were also used, but they were willingly used by the English and the Americans. But again, that's another story.
Yeah, well, I believe all that. It can all be true, you know? They're all using each other.
Exactly. They do, yeah. So they used each other, and I mean, thieves will stick together to a certain extent until, like, the Cold War shows that not forever. Anyway, Smirnov then goes on. He tells us about the burning a little bit. He said about Majdanek. He said they built special ovens which could reach temperatures of 1,500 degrees Celsius. Now, the instruction manual has been found for these ovens, and it is warned in there that if it reaches 1,000 degrees Celsius, that cold air has to be introduced because it will otherwise damage the brick lining of these furnaces. And here, my neighbor, just while we're at cremations, my neighbor who just recently died, may he rest in peace, they cremated him. Now, our crematorium, he is not state of art, but they told me it took 3 hours to cremate one body. Mm-hmm. Now, in 2011.
Yeah, and to do a complete job of it.
Yeah,
takes that long. But supposedly they left all these bones uncremated, and then they put them in these bone grinders as though that was nutty stuff.
That's what he gets in. And for Majdanek, he says, in order to be able to put as many bodies as possible into the ovens, the corpses were dissected. And the limbs hacked off.
This
story has disappeared also. All of this, most of this has disappeared, but at that time it just sounded well. Now, this, though, here is the problem. He says that after the defeat at Stalingrad, the Germans tried to hide their crimes. This was a snap decision. There was no planning. The problem with all of this is, and Jankl Wiernick, in his book, A Year in Treblinka, about Treblinka, he also says that Himmler made a snap decision to hide the crimes, and he ordered the 700,000 bodies that had been buried, dug up, and cremated. Now, the problem here is, where did the wood come from? You need enormous amount of dried, cured wood to burn or roast that many people. And how there was this wasn't planned, according to Smirnov. Smirnov says they decided upon that after Stalingrad.
Well, and again, you know, it's not in character to think that that Himmler made a snap decision. I mean, he certainly didn't make snap decisions, and he had somebody to answer to also. I mean, they go from the idea that somebody makes snap decisions to the idea that they plotted all this out for years and years, you know, and were very careful. And so, you know, they put all this together in one person.
Yeah.
Now, Wilf, some of the listeners might be, and we've only got another minute and a half, but some of the listeners might be asking, well, what about those pictures that we've seen of these Germans, you know, lined up shooting these of course, there was only a few, as you mentioned, shooting these Jews, and so that they would drop down in these trenches. That shows, doesn't it, that they were, you know, rounding up these Jews and killing them. Of course, I think I know the answer to that already, but what would you say?
Well, the Germans shot partisans and people that agitated behind the lines. And the German high command is stressed often, and they said so at Nuremberg, that the Jews were the carriers. They were the organizers of the partisan movement. Jews were shot. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Jews also participated in numbers in the partisan movement, if you want to call it a movement.
Yeah, in large numbers.
In large
numbers. And you know, here's the thing. We've got a few of these pictures that show this. So show men in German uniforms, you know, shooting a line of obviously Jews or something. And that people then extrapolate this in their mind to hundreds of thousands and millions. You know? And that's all they need is to see a few pictures like that.
Yes. And
that's what's so unfortunate about human nature.
It is. It's
or something.
It's, yeah.
Human suggestibility or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right. We're going to our last break, ladies and gentlemen, and we will have a short segment when we come back. You don't want to miss it, so stick with us.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept! That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back with Wolf Hank, and I want to remind you that if you want to read about this in more detail, you can do so at Wolf's blog at www.revblog, that's revblog.codo.com, or just Google revisionist, inconvenient. History revisionist blog. Okay, Wilf, how do you want to finish up today?
Okay, I just would like to mention that we were talking about bodies being, like, all the evidence being destroyed, the Germans indeed did send SS Colonel Paul Blobel out to destroy some of the graves or burn some of the bodies. But one has to consider the enormity of the task. They did that because the Soviets, whenever they found a grave, no reason giving, and we've just said partisans were shot, but they used it with propaganda purposes, blew the numbers up out of no proportion, so it is all proportion. So the Germans decided, well, let's take some of these graves and burn the bodies and see if we can't stop this. But one has to consider the enormity of the task. We're talking now officially between 1.5 and 2 million people. The area that he was looking at was 800,000 square miles, almost three times the size of Texas. And he had about, there's no numbers giving, but he had about 100 or 100, at tops 150 people at his disposal, under him, Blobel, to destroy the graves of almost 2 million people. And it's ridiculous to even consider.
Two million is what they say, right?
That's what they say, yeah.
You're not saying that there really were.
No, I'm saying this is the story now. This is the story that he did that because nothing has been found. And they say, yeah, well, Blobel went out and destroyed it. That just puts insult onto injury and because there's no way that he could have even come close. And furthermore, the grave itself can never be destroyed. The hole that's in there, unless you take the earth down to the depth of the bottom of the grave for half a mile around it and level it all out. But that has never been done. So why isn't there any efforts made to find these holes? If the bodies by now, they are gone anyway. But if they look at them and revisionism would go away. If they would produce some of these, that real substantial evidence, instead of just showing us a few pictures and a few pieces of paper and some witness testimony, revisionists would disappear. I'm convinced of that. Anyway, as I had.
Well, and then some grave. Wouldn't there have been some graves that weren't made by the Germans? I mean, wouldn't
This is what I'd like to get in tomorrow, then, because somebody did finally take a closer look at these reports filed by this extraordinary state commission. Her name is Marina Sorokina. She is a historian at the Russian Academy of Science. And she wrote an article which was published in a quarterly called Kritika, and it is called Kritika. So, and we'll get into that tomorrow because she dug up some startling information and still, historians will not look at this. They are comfortable with what they have.
Hmm. Well, all right. Looks like our music is coming. Wilf, I want to thank you so much for being here today, and we look forward to what you're going to bring to us tomorrow. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And all right.
Thanks for having me, Carolyn.
All right. Well, we'll see you tomorrow. Come back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Goodbye for today.
Bye-bye.
The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, and the government is out to make you pay for it. Can your savings survive a global banking